Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So today I'm choosing this passage because it's just a good excuse to talk about my wedding. You know, this was my bouquet. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so Jesse and I got married in 2016. We were going to get married on April 1st, but then we realized it was April Fool's Day. So we didn't want our marriage to be a joke, so we got married on April 2nd instead. But this is a picture of me when I accidentally answered to Jesse's vows. I didn't realize that it wasn't my turn yet. And in the background, so the people that wedded us were Bishop Grant, who was the one that brought me up here, and that's how I actually met Jesse, and then a Reverend Keith Inoue, who is Miss Pam's brother. So they were our co-officiants. And I'm just going to talk a little bit. That's kind of what our reception hall looked like. Now, we had two receptions. We had one across the street at this restaurant that my dad had asked the owner to close down. And it was really so people could ingest beverages, you know, the spirits of the same. Because you can't do that at a Methodist church. So we went across the street there, but then we had to have this bigger banquet after that banquet because Jesse told me about the wedding crashers. There's wedding crashers. I think typically people, like his parents, had invited all these people that we didn't know and that we couldn't fit them in the capacity of the first restaurant. So some of them showed up to this one. So it was a larger group of people. That's the only picture that I had captured that day. So, and then this is just us listening to, we had a series of speeches from our beloved parents, and every single speech except for one was not related to our marriage. So, like my dad talked about moving me like, you know, 30 times, and my mom talked about she likes me because I send her thank you cards, and nothing was related, but this is kind of like an idea of what their fellowship hall looks like if you haven't seen that. But the point is that, okay, this is after we got married, so we're really happy we got through the service. But this is kind of the point of the wedding, right? You know, there are these events that reveal who we are because we gather all of these people that we know throughout our life, or maybe our parents who they know throughout their lives. And they might not tell us they invited them. And everyone that was present that day, they're people that have influenced us in some part of our life, or those people that we claim in our lives. And those are the people that gathered at our weddings, the same people that we sit with at our table. Their family members, or their cherished friends, or their colleagues, or if at my friend's wedding, where he invited 1,000 people, he invited his like kindergarten teacher that he never talked to until that day. So it depends on how big is your circle, how big is your table. They are the people with whom we have shared countless meals and conversations. So today in the gospel that we heard earlier from Lawrence, today Jesus is pushing us to consider who is missing from our tables, to examine who we've pulled the shades down, who we've written off, who we value less, because Jesus knows that who you sit at a table with matters both literally and figuratively, because it shapes who you are and the assumptions that you make. Think about your own life. Think about the people that have helped cultivate your life, or that have influenced your life, or that have been around your tables. In today's passage, you are invited, and you are invited to see who got to sit where, And where you were sitting was a pretty big deal back in the day. These details, they dictated the guest list and the seating chart of the next party. And every interaction was calculated to provide maximum repetitional benefit. With his recommendations, Jesus is suggesting that instead of playing by the usual rules of privilege and power and honor, that Jesus' dinner companions should try something new and unusual. Radical, really. Jesus is asking them to go outside of their comfort zone, their circle of influence, their circle of patronage, and inviting people who can actually never return the favor. Invite those people that will probably never say thank you, or they can't express their gratitude. So, how many of you have read this book? It's Diana Butler Bass's Grateful. She just came out with it last year. She explains in this book how ancient Rome is structured politically, like a pyramid with, oops, the emperor on top. Everything good flowed from the emperor or Caesar. It flowed down. And by the time it reached the bottom, there wasn't much left. Gifts, mostly in form of economic benefits, flowed down. And with gratitude, both in the form of appreciation, but more often through financial debts like taxes, flowed up. Bass observes that the structures of the ancient Roman Empire still haunt Western societies today, especially in relation to gratitude. And I think some of this is pretty familiar to what we are seeing today. So Jesus calls us to reach beyond our usual circles, not just for the sake of others, but for our sake as well. For it is not just receiving grace that transforms us, but true transformation happens when we extend grace with no expectation of getting anything in return. In an editorial article by Peter Marty, he's the editor for the Christian Century, he wrote that living a life aligned with Jesus is extremely difficult. How many of you agree with me? I mean, we read about these tenets, right? We talk about what it means to love a neighbor as ourselves, but isn't it hard? I think it's difficult. We practice, and we try to get a few of those basics right, and it's mostly unglamorous work. It's as unglamorous as flossing. Or it's unglamorous as, in my opinion, data entry. I don't like data entry. Or as mundane as pulling weeds out on a hot summer day, which Jesse knows I don't do that. Yeah. But I do it on mission trips. I'm thoroughly convinced that nothing resembling expertise exists in the Christian life. Like, we're not called to be experts. We're not called to be perfectionists. So how can you become an expert at receiving the totally undeserved mercy of God on a daily basis? There's a reason we speak meaningfully of practicing our faith. It's all practice. The tables that we host, the tables that we are invited to, they're not just places where we gather and we give thanks to God, which is also like saying grace. But instead, these are the tables where we get to practice receiving and giving God's grace. You see, God has invited us to be a part of this incredible banquet, a great metaphor for God's community. The place where all of God's people come together, and Jesus calls us to do more than just show up and say thank you for the invitation. Jesus calls us to live our gratitude to God. And by reaching out to those who cannot return the favor, we're showing our gratitude and our grace. And sharing that good news that they are invited into this community as well. Maybe Jesus suggests that the people that we need to reach out to are the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, the ignored, the overlooked. And in today's time, that might be the person of color who was profiled wrongly and in prison. Or it's the transgender person who is terrified of government policies that might impact their life. Or it's the LGBTQI community who feels as though they are the outliers in the Methodist Church, as the entire church continues to discern what's going to happen to our denomination. Or it's the person who is of a different religion and is looked upon with suspicion, prejudice, and doubt. Or it's the immigrant who has lived among us for decades, or has worked and paid taxes, and who now lives in fear of being deported. Or it's the people who hold political views that are so different from yours that it becomes all too easy to see them as less than. In fact, it might even mean to offer grace and forgiveness to someone in your life who doesn't deserve it and who wouldn't do the same for you. How challenging is that? At a time in our national discourse when politicians from both parties are invoking some of the worst impulses of fear and violence, and the suggestion from Jesus about who belongs at the table and who are we, we are called to bring into this fold is something that I believe that we all need to hear. And according to Jesus, there is always room at God's table. In fact, there is more room at God's table, and no one, not one person, is to be left out of this feast. Inviting other people to join us at God's table means that we must be able to transform what Diana Butler Bass's image of that pyramid of power and privilege into a table where everything is served family style. We all like family style, don't we? Because we can eat more. It's passed around from one person to the next. A continual dance of, or a continual dialogue of receiving and giving and accepting God's gracious gift and God's grace. And of course, then paying it forward. If we mess up once around the table, then that's the beauty of God, God's grace. We can just start over again. We can try it again. And that's what God calls us to do, is to have the grace to try it again. Friends, Jesus is inviting you, inviting all of us, to push the boundaries of people in our lives and to draw our circle wider. And even if that is just one person or one relationship in your life, I wonder, who is it hard to look into the eyes of? Who would it be hard to sit down and have dinner with? It could be that relationship that has been estranged for years. It could be the person with whom you disagree with politically. It could be that person who may be right in front of you that our society barely notices, kind of like the bent-over woman that we talked about last week. I bet that we all have a person or people in our mind. Take a moment right now and picture this person, and then imagine looking into that person's eyes. What do you see there? What surprises you there? And how might their place at the table be different from what you assume or expect? Friends, Jesus wants us to remember that we belong together. And this parable is inviting us to imagine what it would be like if we lived as though that were actually true. Imagine what it could look like for you. And imagine how it could look like for us. Imagine how that might look in our own communities. May we go from this hour, or maybe hour and a half, to see the world through eyes like that. Amen. So today, as we transition, we're going to sing a song, and then today we're going to do something a little different. We will have our communion. And then I'm going to invite you to, instead of going back to your pews, we're going to stand around the sanctuary in a circle. She's like, no. Stand around a circle, and we're going to sing One Bread, One Body. So we're going to move the closing hymn up that will come right after we take communion. We'll get in a circle, and we have our leaders who are going to teach us the one bread, one body hand gestures. Can I have our leaders raise your hands? Okay, they're all back there, and then there's some there. They'll be standing at different points in the sanctuary, and you'll learn these. I think you've done this before. I know you've done this before. We'll relearn these hand gestures. And then after we're done singing that song, you can go back to your pews, and then we'll collect offering. Okay. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise. Blessed are you, our Alpha and our Omega, whose strong and loving arms encompass the universe. For with your eternal word and Holy Spirit, you are forever one God. Through your word, you created all things and called them good. And in you, we live and move and have our being. When we fell into sin, you did not desert us. You made covenant with your people Israel and spoke through prophets and teachers In Jesus Christ, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is Jesus Christ, who called you God, the loving one. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embrace a people as your own and fill them with a longing for a peace that would last and for a justice that would never fail. In Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection, you took upon yourself our sin and death and destroyed their power forever. And you raised from the dead this same Jesus who now reigns with you in glory and poured upon us your Holy Spirit, making us the people of your new covenant.
And on the night before meeting with death, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this wine, we may know the presence of the living Christ and be renewed by the body of Christ for the world, redeemed by Christ's blood. And as the grain and grapes once dispersed in the fields are now united on this table in bread and in cup, so may we and all your people be gathered from every time and every place into the unity of your eternal household and feast at your table forever. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And let us say the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." So we'll have two stations, and Lawrence, Reverend Jeannie, Reverend Dion, and myself will serve you. And remember, don't go and sit in your pews. Just kind of be at the perimeter of these two areas. And let's make a circle after this. The table is open?
The table is open. And here at Bland Memorial, in the United Methodist Church, we practice an open table. You don't have to be a member of the church. It doesn't matter what your tradition is, your faith tradition. It doesn't matter what you've done. God's grace and God's love extends to everyone. So come now, beloved of the Lord.